You could call it WikiLeaks for hidden money. A trove of data has come to light identifying who has been putting money into secret offshore accounts around the world. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Somebody leaked a pile of information about the clients of a law firm in Panama that for about 40 years has been a popular place for opening overseas financial accounts, often the kind of accounts the clients wanted to keep top secret. In what is seen as the largest media collaboration ever, journalists working in more than 25 languages have been combing through the leaked data. Our partners at the BBC are among those who got an early look at the Panama Papers. BBC business correspondent John T. Bloom is on the line from London. Morning to you.
Morning, David.
John T., this is about offshore tax accounts, often hidden money, and the connections here really span the world.
Yes, they do. The scale of the leak provides an unprecedented glimpse into this secret world of offshore finance. The company Mossack Fonseca offered financial services like foundations, trusts, nominee directors, all that kind of stuff, all designed to help clients hide their wealth. Now, those documents were leaked to the German newspaper, Süddeutsche Zeitung, shared with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, and the range of clients exposed is extraordinary. There are links to 72 current or former heads of state, including dictators like President Mubarak of Egypt and the former President Gaddafi of Libya, for instance.
And this may touch Russian President Vladimir Putin's inner circle?
Yes. Bearing in mind, this is a company that promised absolute confidentiality. There were arrangements that people thought would never see the sunlight. And one of the things that's been exposed is that there seems to be a suspected billion-dollar money laundering ring involving very close associates of President Putin. Another example is the Icelandic Prime Minister, Sigmundur Gunnlaugsson. He had an undeclared interest in his country's bailed-out banks, though he says he did nothing wrong. And then, of course, there are just ordinary cases of suspected tax evasion covering many, many countries where people use Panamanian trusts and foundations to dodge tax on things like property deals in London, for instance.
Now, why would one law firm in Panama have all this data?
Well, you've got to understand that Panama is this kind of offshore tax haven, which is organizing these things for people who want to hide their money. Now, some of that may be perfectly legitimate. The company insists it's all perfectly legitimate. But basically, they are trying to set up shell companies, which basically you can't tell who really controls them. And therefore, you don't know who really owns the money in them, and therefore you can't tax it. And there are dozens and dozens of examples of things like that happening.
John T. Bloom is business correspondent with the BBC, our partner broadcaster. The BBC was one of the news organizations that got a hold of this data early and has been combing through it. John T., thank you.
Pleasure, David.
Already, that Icelandic prime minister is facing calls for a sudden general election. Mr. Gunnlaugsson walked out of an interview when asked about offshore tax havens. Note that reporters have only begun going through this data. State of Venezuela, these persistently low oil prices have produced a widespread economic emergency. Food and medicine are scarce. Venezuelans are asking for help from anyone they can, including our reporter visiting from the U.S. Marketplace's Scott Tong has an ongoing series we call Resource Curse. Here's his story today.
When we found out we were pregnant, what we did back then was...
Yasmin Utrera is the translator I hired in Venezuela. He set up interviews, he arranged travel. But before any of that, he asked me to bring him something from America. Diapers. For her.
Then you cannot buy, like, clothes, for example.
Baby Isa is 5 months old, and it's getting hard to cover her bottom.
Say something. What is
it? There's a shortage of flour, rice, nappies. The problem is the country only makes oil. It imports everything else.
With the drop in oil prices, now we have less money to import food. So that means we're going to have less food in the supermarkets. So scarcity is going to get worse.
It doesn't appear Venezuela makes any diapers at home, perhaps because the government sets really low selling prices. In Yasmin's slum, everybody is hurting. So for those who can afford it, they buy in the black market. He takes me over to an old friend, Nazareth, who's his diaper dealer. Every morning before dawn, she lines up outside the supermarkets and buys whatever she can to scalp.
We have a network of resellers. We talk about what our clients need. If I need 10 bags of diapers, my colleagues will give me diapers and I'll trade them for rice or flour.
She sells coffee at 10 times the normal price. Corn flour, 25x.
Sugar, coffee, corn flour, and rice are really hard to find. People know it, so we're savvy enough to ask for good money.
Nazareth quit her day job as a parking attendant to do this. Before, she made minimum wage each month. Now she earns double that in a day. Now, her customer, Yasmin, is okay with that, even though he gets a friend discount of zero.
If you have to work, you don't have time to line for food or for diapers or for milk. You know, you pay someone else to do what you have no time to do.
But my local photographer, Jorge Galindo, finds Nazareth, well, he wants to punch her. To him, these scalpers are ripping off morality.
Before, only the politicians screwed the people. Now the people screw the people. They all want a piece of the corruption pie.
Nazareth apologizes for nothing. This petrostate is a wreck, and she's simply trying to survive. And it is risky. She says once a fight broke out in line right next to her. One guy split another guy's head open with a can of milk. So now, she says, milk doesn't come in cans anymore. In Caracas, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And there's news that Alaska Airlines beat out JetBlue and will buy Virgin America for roughly $2.6 billion. U.S. antitrust regulators will review this. This is Virgin America, not Virgin Atlantic, which does the big overseas routes. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.